and verse number 12. We'll begin reading. Before we begin reading, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless this service. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the good day that we've already had this morning, and just the things that you've blessed, and things that we can't help in our lives that only you can do through us. And I just pray, Lord, that you would bless this next hour. Bless me as I preach what I believe is the message that you gave me for this morning, and what I believe these people need to hear, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that they would open up their hearts, Lord, and receive your word readily, Lord, and leave here changed and motivated to work out for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So let's start reading in verse 12. We'll only be reading a couple of verses, two verses. Starting in verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to do and to will, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The subject I want to talk to you today, it has to do with a workout theme, an exercise theme. Now, don't get scared. It's not that we're not going to be doing push-ups in church today. But working out your salvation. Paul saying in verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only. He's saying, you guys have obeyed the Bible. You guys have obeyed Jesus Christ, not only when I was with you, but now much more in my absence. When I'm gone, when I'm with you or whether I'm gone, you guys are doing right. You guys are following the Word of God, obeying the Bible, following Christ. But now much more in my absence, work out. Now he's saying, but now much more in my absence. You guys have followed Christ. And earlier saying he was challenging them in chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may have your affairs, that you stand fast, one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. He was challenging them that, hey, you guys have obeyed and followed Christ when I'm here, but do it when I'm away too. Don't count on me for you as your motivation to have your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And he's saying now in verse 12, but now it's more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Years ago, I played football. Not too long ago. I'm only 19, so I was, you know, what, 5 years to 2 years ago, or 6 years to 2 years ago, I played football, and I really, really, really wanted to play a certain position. I never got to start that position, just because, let's face it, I'm not athletic, but because I really wanted that position, I worked out. I went to the gym at 7 in the morning, 6, 7 every morning in the summertime, in the off-season, to try to work out, get in shape, full, build muscle, because I wanted to play that position. So, those of you all know that when you're in the gym, you know, you're working out, and so I'm there, and I'm doing some squats or something. I can't remember what I was doing. It varied, you know. You want to work out different parts of your body at different days. But so I was working out. I'm doing squats, and man, this is like prime time, and I'm you know, this football season's about to start. I'm at my max here. I'm getting everything I got. I'm thinking I'm pretty hot stuff, you know. And so I'm squatting, and I get done with my reps, and and then I plunk it on the rack and stagger back to my seat and sit down, but, you know, I'm feeling pretty good at myself. You know, I'm trying to keep my ego, you know, intact, because everybody's got to know that that wasn't really tough for me to do that. but so here, after I just get done, then we had a guy on the football team, his name was Zach, and he was a year younger than me, but he had the body for lifting, he had the heart for lifting, he loved just to lift. He didn't lift just so he could play football. He lifted just to lift. And then he played football, and It's really good. Now, so he comes over, you know, one of these times I get done, I sit down, you know, I stand back and, you know, my veins are, you know, popped out, you know, because I just about killed myself doing this. Comes over and he says, and I'm feeling pretty good about myself. Comes over and says, "Do you even lift, bro? Do you even lift, bro?" And so then he kept on saying, like, that was his phrase in the workout room. "Do you even lift, bro?" That's why I want to ask you guys tonight. I'm not tonight, this morning. Do you even lift, bro? Now, you know, my motivation was to play football. You know, and I want to have this position. And I never got it. But what's your motivation to lift, if you have any? Work out your own salvation. Work out in the spiritual gym of life. Do you even lift, bro? You know, I'm gonna give you, you know, there's several reasons why people work out. You know, some may, you know, a girl may work out because she wants to be toned for volleyball. And Daniel may work out because he wants to be best for football. Gunner works out because he wants to play basketball, or he did. But we all have different reasons. But the main thing when it comes to working out in general is not so much like what you do, as long as how you lift is proper form, proper technique, right? Because if you do all sorts of stuff, but you're not using the right technique, the right how you do it, it doesn't do you much good, right? But many of us have a why we work out, and many of us have a how. We got the how right. Now, I want to label things. I want to give you things why you need to work out spiritually, and then I'll apply the how to do it, and they're related to each of the things that are motivations for you to lift. Do you even lift? Well, let's see. You know, you need motivations, the right motivations. So let's look in verse 12, the end of verse 12. But not much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. With fear and trembling. Reason number one why we need to work out our salvation, which, by the way, before I go any further, you know, this sounds kind of fishy, right? Work out your own salvation. What does that sound like? Work salvation. No, work out. But that's not what it means. Work out your own salvation. You can't work out something unless it's yours. Work out your own salvation. So your salvation, work it out. So my whole entire emphasis today is trying to encourage you, push you, challenge you to do more with your salvation than just salvation. Do more with what God's given you, the gift that He's given you, salvation. Work out your own salvation. So first of all, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why do you need to work out, number one? Because God is worthy. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. With fear and trembling. What you deem worth something, you fear it. You fear what you deem something. If you deem something is worthy, you fear that something. Number one, work out your own salvation because God is worthy. Because God is worthy. Is God worth it to you? Before we go any further, if you don't think God is worthy of your trust, then you don't even have anything to work out for. If you're not saved, you're not even in the gym. You're not even by the racks. You don't even have the free pass to come into the gym. You're not even in the workout room. You need to get saved. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." For God so loved the world. You know what? God Almighty so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, He's worthy of receiving Him. He's worthy of you receiving Him for salvation. So if you're not saved today, I would challenge you to do something about it. Because He's worthy. Grab one of us after church, one of the men of the church, and ask us, what does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to be in the workout room? To come into it first. But beyond that, this mainly is for those who are, of us who are saved. Salvation is only the beginning. Is God so many of us and so many people who get saved, they think, and I was talking about this in Sunday school, so many of us get saved and, well, I got saved, I'm going to heaven, And it's true. There's nothing else that you have to do besides trusting Christ to go to heaven. But there's no motivation to go beyond that. Get baptized. Read your Bible. Pray. Join a church. Grow in the Lord. Work out your salvation. This is mainly for those of us who are saved. Salvation is only the beginning. Let me ask you this. If you're on the fence about trying to decide whether or not you want to take, if you just want to hold on to your salvation, or if you want to go on with it, because at first it may look like really hard task. I couldn't be like Mr. Adams over there, spiritual, the deacon in the church. I couldn't be that. So then you don't even try. No, God is worthy. God is worthy. We should be striving to grow in the Lord. Salvation is only the beginning. Let me ask you, if you're on the fence with that decision, let me ask you something. If God is not worth following, then why in the world did you trust Him with your eternity? If God is not worth following, then why in the world did you trust Him with your eternity? Because when you got saved, you admitted that God is worth following. So if you admit something is worth following, and then you don't follow it, it's like saying, I believe in so-and-so, this politician is going to save America. And then you don't vote for him or her. That's, work out your own salvation. You have to follow through with it. If you say something's worthy, if you put your trust in salvation, in God alone, then you're admitting He's worth following. At least you're supposed to be admitting that He's worth following. If you're not, you need to examine yourself to see whether or not you're saved. Because He's worth following. He's worth going beyond for. He's worth voting for. You know, it's back to the workout room. Those of us who have lifted, just by judging the audience, there's only a few of us that have. No, just kidding. Anyways, so those of you who've been in a workout room know what it's like when I say, is it nice to have somebody in the workout room that's just there, not really working out? You know, they're there because they want to hang out with the cool kids. They want to hang out with the people who work out. Because if they are hanging out with those people, they're just, osmosisly strong themselves. So is it nice to have somebody that's there that's not really doing anything? What about salvation then? Is it nice to have somebody who gets saved and receives God's gift of salvation? It's in the workout room, but yet he doesn't do anything. He's just there. He's there probably just trying to please someone. And all they really do is cause problems in the workout room or flirt with the girls and boys. No, I'm serious. Isn't that not what happens? Teenagers, there's just because some young person says they're saved, and he's in the workout room. He may be in the workout room. I'm not questioning their salvation, his or her salvation. They may be in the workout room. But if you're working out like you're supposed to be, should you be attached to somebody who's not? Should you be using them as your goal? No, like in the workout room, physically speaking, it's always nice to have somebody, a partner, to spot you, to support you, to build you up. You don't want a partner that's sitting over there on Instagram when you're doing all the lifts and you have to physically pick them up and go over to the lift and get them to work out. I'm serious. This the most important decision in your life besides salvation, marriage, it needs to be taken seriously. Get somebody who works out. works out your own salvation. Somebody who also thinks that God is worthy of working out for. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That doesn't just mean unbelievers in salvation. It could mean unbelievers in standards. Unbelievers in going to church every time the doors are open. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Work out your own salvation. God is worth following. These people don't add to the workout spirit at all. They just cause problems. So if you're that person, please start working out. If you're in the workout room, you're not in the workout room to do something else. You're in the workout room to lift. Do you even lift? Bro. Now, remember, when I think of this, I think of two characters in the Bible. One of them wrote this book here, Philippians, this letter to the Philippians, Paul. But the other is Lot, that I think of. The Bible says that Lot was saved. It calls him a righteous man, a righteous soul. He vexed his righteous soul. But listen, because Lot thought something else was more worthy of God, more worthy than God. He was, the Bible says he was sitting in the gate of Sodom and Gomorrah. That means he valued his position. He was sitting in the gate. He was an elder. It doesn't say he was sitting in the gate witnessing. It says he was sitting in the gate. It doesn't say anything about Lot ever trying to reach his family or the city with the gospel. Lot got saved. And it ended right there. That's it. When he died in terrible sin, incest. He died a drunk. I mean, the end of the story ends him with him being a drunkard. He lost his whole entire family. And he started two of the most wicked nations that Israel faced in his lifetime. In their lifetime in the Bible. Lot didn't do anything with his salvation. He didn't work it out. Look at Paul. In Sunday school, we're talking about Paul's conversion. In chapter 3, it talks about him being circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But notice the next two verses. But what things were gained to me, Paul says, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, not call all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them a dung, that I may win Christ. Paul changed. He got saved. And it wasn't just, he got saved. But as we were talking in Sunday school, he got saved and he put all of that other stuff behind him. Counted it as dung. I was having a little bit of fun with dung in Sunday school. Nobody goes around in their field and collects dung. Got a jar here, a glass jar. I'm just getting my shovel, dung. Some in there. Put some in there. I got a good jar full of dung. Put the lid on it. Go home. Put it up on your mantle. No, nobody does that. Paul counted it as dung. Everything that he did in the past, it was dung. Why? Because he was working out his salvation. He went beyond salvation because he wanted to chase the perfection of Christ. True Christ-likeness. Paul changed and look what happened. So you're saying why? You say, Brother Josh, you say why we need to work out because God is worthy. Well, how do you do that? How do you work out then? Based on God is worthy, how do you work out? Fear Him. Fear Him. Because God is worthy, we should fear Him. If we fear the Lord, there will be an increase in growth in our lives. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. 19:23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. Proverbs 22, verse 4, but humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. If you fear the Lord, there will be an increase in your integrity. Because God is worthy of my best, of righteousness, whether or not I'm in front of people or I'm in the privacy of my own bedroom. God is worthy. He's worthy of your integrity. There will be an increase of integrity if you fear the Lord. Focus on that. Is my integrity strong? What is my character like? Am I the same person in front of people as I am behind people's backs? Your integrity. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The beginning of wisdom. There's an increase in wisdom and knowledge. You know, I mentioned standards a little bit. If you fear the Lord, you know, I this is a little bit off subject, but I was thinking about this statement. The statement I was thinking when I was looking at Philippians chapter 2, actually early in the passage. Christ's humility was so great. He came down from heaven. He came down to heaven to be a man. And what I was thinking was, our humility should be such that our obedience is not a problem. If you're struggling with obeying God and upping whatever He wants you to up in your life, strengthen, work out, build up, if you're struggling with it, your humility should be such that your obedience is not a question, it's not a problem. And humility is connected to the fear of God. Fear of the Lord. Fear God. How do you acknowledge that God is worthy? Fear Him. Fear Him. You know, my sister is going to get married in a couple months. 2 months from Tuesday. I'm not counting the dates or anything. 2 months from Tuesday, she's getting married. And let me just say that she would not be getting married. The man that she's marrying, and he is a man. Thank the Lord, he is a man. And a man's man. The man she's getting married to comes from a godly family. They love the Lord. They work in shrine. And they're focused on pleasing the Lord. But if my sister would have dropped, let's just say her standards. If she would have dropped her standards because she didn't think God was worthy of them, I still think she would be a good girl. I still think she would be you can even say a godly girl. But she wouldn't be getting the man that God has for her right now. She wouldn't be getting God's best for her life by decreasing her fear of the Lord. You get what I'm saying? She's getting God's best because she feared the Lord. There's increase, there's growth, and there's benefit from working out your salvation. Next, let's move along quickly. God, why should we work out? Number one, God is worthy. Number two, God is working. In verse 13, for it is God which works within you. Work out your own salvation of fear and trembling, for it is God which works within you. Number two, God is working. That's why we should work out. Listen, if you're saved, God started to work in you. God started to work in you. You stepped out in faith and put your trust in Him. And God stepped in and is working in you. That should be all the more motivation we need to go and work out our own salvation so that others can get saved. So that we can chase the perfection of Christ, like what I was talking about in Sunday school with Paul. It's perfectly natural. You know, some of us think it's so hard to work out. But remember the reminder, for it is God which worketh in you. If you let God work in you, it's perfectly natural for you to work out what He works in. You know, I wonder if the problem is, though, that we don't make room for Him to come in. You know, because in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1 through 5, and there be therefore any consolation in Christ, Paul says, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who being in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. He starts out the chapter by saying, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ. Christian, if you tasted the consolation of Christ, if you've tasted John's Christ consolation, if you've tasted comfort, if you've experienced what God's given you because of salvation. So Paul's saying, if you've experienced His consolation, if you've experienced His comfort, if you've experienced His mercy, if you've experienced His fellowship in your life, fulfilling my joy that you'd be like-minded. Being of one accord, of one mind, with one mind, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Verse 4 and verse 5. Hey, if you've tasted what God's given you, now, work it out. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. But if you haven't tasted, again, if you haven't tasted His comfort of love, His consolation, His fellowship, His mercy, examine yourselves, whether it be in the faith, 2 Corinthians 13 says. Whether it be in the faith. Are you saved? If you're not experiencing those things, it might be because you're not saved. But if you are saved and you know that for sure, what about sin in your life? Because sin in your life, I know from personal experience that if there's sin in my life, there's no joy in my life. There's no consolation in Christ. I don't feel very comforted. I don't feel very consolous. I don't feel His mercy. I don't feel His fellowship because there's sin in my life. There's sin in my life. That's why we need to work out. It's because we've experienced His gift. And if there's sin in your life, or if there's things that you're trusting in more than God, you're trusting in something else. You're not having faith in God's work in your life. You're having faith in something else. Examine yourselves, whether it be in the faith. You know, I think of David. David, I preached this a couple months ago. Wednesday night. David fought Goliath. It was a huge, massive defeat, victory over a giant, Goliath. But David killed a lion and bear before that. And I don't think David would have been as ready to go and defeat Goliath unless he killed the lion and the bear before that. He proved his God before that. He stepped out in faith before that. If there's nothing in your life previously, evidence of God's working in your life, don't expect God to work out in your life in the future. Let God in. You know, the Bible says over and over again, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, which also you're called in one body. Let this mind be in you. You have to allow it. Sometimes to allow something to come in, you have to take the junk that's already in there and toss it out. A lot of times. Are you trusting in your own strength? Or is there just sin in your life? That's your baggage that you don't need to be carrying. God is working, and He wants to work in your life. That should be motivation for us to work out. Sometimes it isn't because of sin in our life, because of other things that are taking up space in our life. God is working. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul was confident that the good work that Jesus Christ started in the Philippian church, he would finish. He would finish. We all often quote that verse, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform until the day of Jesus Christ. But often we skip the verse before. Verse before it says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Why was he confident that God would finish the good work that started him? Because of the fellowship from the first day. What does that mean? From salvation. From your fellowship in the first day until now. They were faithful. So Paul was confident that God was going to finish the good work in their lives. That they were going to work out in fruition for him. They were faithful. It can happen again. If it's happened in the past, that salvation. Like you stepped out so God could step in. And if it's happened since then, you stepped out and God stepped in. It can happen again. You step out and God steps in. We just had a message, series of messages preached on soul winning. Oh boy, here it comes, right? We need to step out in faith and start sharing the gospel. And we'll find out it's not as hard as we make it out to be. You know why? Because if we're doing it with the right reasons, in His strength, without sin in our life, God's work's in. It's not that hard because He's doing more of the work than we are. It can happen again. Have faith in God. So how? So why you need to work out? Because God is working. But how do you do that? By having faith and acknowledging His working. Having faith in His working. This can result in offerings increase, ministry, church involvement. Because I know I have to get off work early this day. I'm going to lose that money. But I believe that God wants me to help in this ministry. So you step out in faith, God steps in. Step out in faith and God steps in. Ministry and church involvement, it'll up it. Witnessing, we already worked it out. We already talked about. Witnessing. We need to step out. What better way to work out your salvation than to share it with others? That builds your muscles. You know why? Because when you get a door slammed in your face, then you realize you need to go back and read your Bible about how to answer that better. How to answer that question. How to talk to them. How to show love with the truth. Mercy and truth. It can happen again. We need faith in His working. Faith in His working. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Next. So first, God is worthy. Secondly, God is working. Why? These are why we need to work out. God is worthy. God is working. Thirdly and lastly, God is wanting. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God has a plan. I can't help but drill it and drill it and drill it. Daniel and Jada will tell you, just about every Sunday, I say something about God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. Go fulfill it. God has a special plan in His life for you, in our lives. He can see further down the road than we can. He knows what you need. He knows what you don't need. God is wanting something. When you make a decision daily, do you ever ask yourself, is this what God wants? Is this what God wants? Because trust me, God wants the best for you. He will always get the glory. But He wants the best for you. That's why He's using you. Is this what God wants? God is wanting. Why work out? Because God has a perfect plan for our lives. He can see further down the road than we can. He wants us to grow. He wants us to grow. That's part of His plan, is to work out your salvation. Grow. Build some muscle. Stop being wimps. Stop being wimps. Work out. He wants us to grow. He wants us to have a successful life. A peaceful life. Sin. You can only have a successful and a peaceful life through Him. Other people are going for it without God, aren't finding it. Some of the richest men in the world have died, and the last words they came off their lips were, I wish I could die happy. Something that I thought, I wish I could have peace. Or some rich people have said, I wish I could only just have one more dollar. As if that's happiness. One more dollar. Work out. Why work out? Because He wants us to grow. He's wanting. So how? How do you work out? Well, when we realize that God is worthy, we fear Him. When we realize that God is working, we're more faithful. We need to be faithful. Exercise faith. When we realize that God is wanting in our lives, you know how you work out? Be focused on Him. Be focused on Him. I said, when you're making daily decisions, is this what God wants? First and foremost, are you focused on what He wants or what I want? Be focused on Him, on what He wants. That's how you work out. God is one thing. Be focused on Him. Matthew 6:22 says, "The light of the body is beyond. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" Matthew 6:24, "No man can serve two masters. For either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Be focused on Him. After that goes on and names all sorts of things that humans wrestle with, that humans desire and worry about. And then it goes all the way through this list. Take no thought for tomorrow. Take no thought of thy stature, where thy food comes from. And then down to 6:33, Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." If we're just focused on Him, we won't have to worry so much about everything else. He's worthy of our workout because He's wanting, and we need to be focused on Him. We need to be focused on Him. So God wants so much with your life. Here's the hard part, but do you want what God wants for your life? Do you sincerely want what God wants for your life? Because sometimes I go down a road, and I'm like, "Oh God, don't. I don't want to go there. I don't think that's good for me, God." And it turns out being, "Yep, that's what I need." This weekend is one of those situations. No. But God, do we want what God wants for our life? Do we want what God wants for our life? Because God wants so much more than for our life than oftentimes we even want. Could it be that God is waiting to give you something? Could it be that God is waiting to give you something that He wants in your life, but because you don't want it, or because you don't act like you want it, because you don't act like you're focused on Him, He can't give it to you? I mean, what if God had a whole storehouse of things and blessings that He wanted to give us, but because we don't act like we even care about God's blessing in our life or God's presence in our life, He can't give it to us because we only want what He wants. You know, the Bible says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Focus on Him. How do you work out? Focus on Him. Focus on Him. It could be that we're distracted by something else. We can't focus on something because over here, this is catching our eye. What are you easily distracted by? You know, is it money? What gets your attention? What grabs it? What holds it? Is it preaching like this, even though you go along and I'm not going along? Is it preaching? What captures your attention? Or is it money or opportunity? Many people trade money, trade fulfillment for money. Many young people trade, as I said earlier, they trade a godly spouse in for quick love and temporary romance. Because they want it now. They don't want to wait for what God wants. Are you focused on Him? Because focusing on God will lead to an increase in growth in your daily life. Decisions. You don't have to worry so much about decisions because, you know, if you ask God and He shows you what you're supposed to do, oftentimes He closes doors, He opens new ones, and He makes it easy for us. Daily lives, if we're focusing on Him. We need to be focused on Him. So why do we need to work out? Because God is worthy, God is working, and God is wanting. How do we do that? We need to be fearing God's worthiness. We need to be faithful and have faith in His working in our lives. And we be focused on what He wants for our lives. Where's your fear? Do you acknowledge God's worthiness in your life? It would be so much easier to persuade Christians to work out if they would only embrace the truth that God is worthy. That the goal is worthy. Because people don't work out without a goal. People don't work out without a goal. God is a worthy goal to work out for. If God is worthy in my life, I wouldn't have a problem with changing my lifestyle because God is worthy. My humility should be such that my obedience is not a problem. Where's your faith? Do you acknowledge God's working in your life? Are you letting Him work letting God work in you so then you can work out what He works in. When you have faith in God, you're letting Him work through you. So the workout is that much easier. Let Him. Clear out the space. Let Him work in you. Have faith in His working, not anything else. Don't trust in anything else. Where's your focus? Do you acknowledge God's wanting in your life? What are you focused on, striving for? What are you distracted by? What catches your eye? Are you not letting Him be your focus? Because you're serving a different master than Him? And therefore you hate Him and love Him, love the other? Because it's one or the other. You either love God or you hate Him. Partial love to God is hate. God deserves it all. God is worthy. He deserves it all. He deserves our focus. What are you distracted by? Are you not letting Him be your focus? What does God want in my life? You know, we just went, and the main thing I want to bring across today is we just went through a whole series of messages on soul winning, challenging us to go out of our comfort zone and win others for Christ, at least attempt others. Because God did not say to go out and save others. He just said to preach the gospel. And He'll convict their heart. So if you get rejected after you preach the gospel or try to soul into others, that's not necessarily on you. Because you're just following God's commands. Go and preach to the best of your ability. And if you love God, you'll try to work on that ability, that skill, to be more skillful in winning others. But what better way to work out your salvation than go witnessing? I mentioned church involvement. You know, what if it's just as small as coming to church on Sunday night, or coming to church on Wednesday night, coming to church for getting up early and coming to Sunday school. You know, there's stuff that goes on in the church besides what all of us even do. We can up it. Why don't you work it out? Don't you want to work out? God is worthy. God is worthy. But I want to challenge you today and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. His plan is perfect. Do we want that plan? Is He worthy of your fear? Where is your faith? Where is your focus? Let's pray today. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that the message today was received, and Lord, that the people in this auditorium, including myself, would act upon what You say, what You've given us in Your Word. I pray, Lord, that if somebody's here and they're not even saved, Lord, that they would get saved and realize You're worthy of putting Your trust in. You're worthy. You're worth it, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that we would go beyond, take the next step. Acknowledge that You're worthy. Acknowledge that You're working. Acknowledge that You're wanting. And do it. Do it. I just pray, Lord, that we would see fruit. That people would take the next step, Lord. People would take the next step in their Christian walk with You, Lord. Pray, Lord, You bless the afternoon, everybody as they're going home, and bring us all back tonight, Lord, for another dive into Your Word, Lord, and what You have for us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.